Welcome to the Begin the Begin podcast. My name is Jeff Hillemeyer, and I'm on a mission to find out what makes people tick. Not just anyone, people who are making a profound impact on the world. I want to dig into their origin story and get to the root of why and how they do what they do. I hope you are as inspired coming out of these conversations as I am. Let's get into it. Okay, this is a really exciting episode for me. I get to talk to Kate T. Parker, who got introduced to me by some of the most amazing people that I know. But before we get going, Kate, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm so good. Can you start us off by just telling everybody who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm Kate Parker. I am a photographer, an author, a mom, runner. Those are probably the top billing, I would say.
Yeah. And you've got, is it two girls?
I have two girls. Yeah. I have two girls. One's 18 freshman year in college and one is 15 freshman year in high school.
Okay. Where's the college? Which college?
Alabama.
Okay. Very cool.
Yeah. Roll Tide.
Yeah. One of my best friends, his daughter's a freshman at Alabama as well. Maybe afterwards we can see if they know each other.
Figure it out.
Okay. We got connected because yes, you mentioned you're an author and, I have in my hands a copy of, is this your most recent book?
That's my fifth book. Just came out a month ago, I would say.
Awesome. Force of Nature. I'll put a link in the show notes. Is this all your photography in here?
It is.
It's so beautiful. I'll let you describe what it is, but we got connected because Zoe Oley is in the book featured, who's just one of the most incredible, entrepreneurs that I know. And she's 12, I think.
Yeah, I think 11, 12. Yeah, she's on the young side of being a CEO, but
yeah. She's incredible, but she's featured in here. So we'll talk about all sort of the work you do in the books, but for this book in particular, what's it about?
So the subtitle, I feel like, describes it really well. It's a celebration of girls and women raising their voices. And that's really what it is. It's like trying to capture so each photo is accompanied with a quote from the girl or the woman. And it's mostly girls. But it talks about a moment when they had to use their voice, raise their voice, speak up, make a change, recognize something was wrong and had the courage to speak up and hopefully try to change it.
Awesome. And all your books. So like, what's the theme? I mean, I know some of them, you tell us, what are the themes of your books?
So this is my fifth book and they are all about encouraging kids to be confident, find their passions. And there was one book about boys, but the rest are all about girls. There's one about the first one is called Strong is New Pretty. So that was about encouraging girls to be confident. And I always find there's a difference between being pretty and being beautiful. And I wanted my girls to feel beautiful and not worry about being pretty. Like, and I felt like their beauty comes from like who they are. And I didn't see a lot of like photography celebrating girls for that. So that was sort of the impetus for me. And then extended it to, it's funny because I kept getting all these questions, like after that book came out, like, where's the book for boys? Why aren't you doing a book for boys? And I was like, I don't have boys. And I didn't spend a lot of like very like quality time with young boys. Yeah. And I was like, they're fine. They don't need a book. Like they're doing just great. And then I realized like how short-sighted that was. I did like a few test shoots because my publisher asked the same question. They're like, can you do a book about boys? And I was like, no, but I'll do a few test shots. And then it looks like I paid attention to what you asked. And and as soon as I did that, I was like, oh my gosh, like you're missing this whole, like this huge story about, we want to encourage our girls to be strong and confident, but we also want the same for our boys and that to know them to know like they can be vulnerable and that they don't have to fit this single stereotype. So it was very short-sighted to me, but I'm super thankful for that project. It was called The Heart of a Boy. It came out like 5 years ago, this week. So all the books are about, I did one about soccer. I played college soccer. My girls both played soccer. And so I did one called Play Like a Girl That Celebrate. It was like a love letter to like that sport in particular, but like all those lessons that you can learn from sport. And then this next one was about celebrating girls using and raising their voices.
Mm. Well, it's just, I hope everybody can take a look at it and grab a copy. It's, I mean, the photography is beautiful. Now, I've heard you on some interviews talk about how you originally, you know, struggled to become a competent photographer. It yeah. seems like that's long gone because these are incredible shots. Yeah.
That's very sweet. Yeah. I didn't really take any classes. I had my first daughter and I really needed something. I'd stopped working, but I had been working in advertising and as an editor, like a video editor. And so I really missed having like a creative outlet. And so I was like, I'm going to be a photographer, but I didn't know what I was doing at all. And I just practiced and practiced and practiced and, you know, had a bunch of terrible images. And, but I always knew like visually what I wanted it to look like. I just didn't always have the skills to get it there. So it's been years. I mean, she's almost 19 now. So it's been years of practice, which has been great. I love it. And, you know, still passionate about it.
Yeah, no, it's wonderful. I assume you have other books in mind or projects that you're excited about coming soon.
It's funny. I have one that I'm about to sign a contract for, but I'm like, also, so I feel like to be totally honest, I feel like I need more time. I'm a little burnt out. Like I seven or five books in 7 years has been a lot. Yeah. And so I literally, as I got on this podcast, I saw an email from my agent that was like, how about this for the delivery date? And I'm like, it's too soon. I need more time. Yeah. I was like, that means I have to start it in September. Mm. Like, that's not long enough.
All right. So that's something I want to talk about. You know, I have tried, I have five kids, two daughters. I'm trying to, one of the things I've learned over, I don't know, the last 15 years or so is like, I have all the privilege that a person could possibly have. I mean, like every single check mark. Right. And part of that is being a male. And so I've tried to, listen and learn. And my wife helps me, like, for instance, you know, I no longer say you throw like a girl, right? Like when you think about that, that's a terrible thing to say, like, but it's, we all grew up saying stuff like that. Right. So on this journey of sort of trying to, open my eyes more and be more aware, one of the things that I've realized is that, what I'll call the successful women that I know in business are like ridiculously successful. Like, so I look at you and you've written five books, Iron Man, college athlete, you know, presumably I'm going to assume when you were in your career before this, you were probably doing very well and putting in a lot of time. And so like so now here comes this next book. And I just wonder, like, you know, there seems to be a bit of, you know, probably part of it is, yes, to rise in corporations or in businesses, a lot of times women have to do more. I recognize that. Right. And so then you get to a certain point and you're like, well, that's just what I have to do in this life. And so one of the things, some of the women that lead some of my companies, I'm constantly having to try to get them to slow down and tell them, look, you don't have to take on all that stuff. So it's almost like deprogramming some of that. So it almost feels like, are you in the middle of that? Like, oh my gosh, got to keep going. Because I think a guy might go, I'll do it next year. You know, I don't know. So how do you react to all that?
It's so funny that you asked that. Cause it's like this literally, like me asking to push this book is the first time I've ever in my life been like, I need a second. And also I think it's age. I've gotten older. I feel like it's honestly like the most healthy thing I've ever done because, I don't feel like I always was pushing and pushing and pushing in everything. And I think it was maybe some sort of outside validation of like, no, you're good. You know, like, and also it's probably just like the work ethic that I had from playing sports my whole life. But it's like funny. I said to my husband, I was like, I feel like I'm okay without this, which is so like, oh my gosh, it's like such a weight off. And not to feel like, oh, I need all this extra stuff to be worthy. No, it's enough. I'm done. I'm, you know, like I want to enjoy things, right, and not feel like I want to have an answer when you say, what's your next thing? I mean, uh-huh, be like, I don't know. It's funny. I'm like, my whole life, it'd be like, I wish I was like chiller, but I'm not chill. And that's fine. And to accept that and understand that, like, you know, that drive and that, like, I would say I'm more of a anxious person. And so it like that drive pushes me, which is great. But now I'm like, I think I'm old enough to be like, this is pretty good. I'm happy. I don't need to like crush everything anymore.
Right. Cause you're like hardwired. I mean, I can see that. And right at 5 books, yeah, in how many years? 7 years?
Seven. That's a lot.
I mean, that's a lot. I mean, that's, you know, that puts you in the very, just like sort of like an Ironman, like that puts you in the elite of people who do this. And so, yeah, hopefully you do take a bit of a break. And breathe a minute, you know,
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, with kids, like, you know, you don't, my first one went to college, and like the second one, I'm like, okay, we're starting high school. I don't want to miss soccer games. I don't want to miss, you know, I don't want to miss cross country meets. I don't want to miss anything. It goes so fast.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've earned it. I mean, my goodness, you've certainly earned it. You put in the work. So I'm curious, like, this is really important work that you're doing. Do you have a defined personal purpose?
Oh, no, I wouldn't say okay. Like, I would say like, I have like my motto. It's funny, like in racing, I remember my first Ironman, they have those things. It's like, it was a long time ago. Like it was like an ID. So I guess if you fell over and almost died, they could call your partner.
Yeah.
But there was a little spot on there on the armband to like put, you know, something like motivational. And I remember putting like, make yourself proud. And that's kind of, I would say, like, if I had a personal model, that's what it would be. But it's, I think that's sort of driven me for the last, you know, probably 47 years.
That's so interesting. Make yourself proud. And it's nuanced because you're probably, that probably changes over time what makes you proud, right? Like you're saying now, like, you're like, oh my gosh, I want to make sure I make more soccer games. Whereas maybe 5 years ago, while that was certainly very important, you're like, got to get this deadline. I got to get this book out. So I think it shifts over time. What makes ourselves proud, right?
Right. That's really true. Yeah. And like in racing or something like that, it's like, don't give up. But now, you're like, no, maybe take the dogs for a walk or, you know, schedule time for yourself and not feel bad about it or, you know, still continue to do work that's meaningful and relevant, but maybe just, you know, not just like churning it out so much.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm curious, like, do you feel the satisfaction that I hope you feel that comes with connecting your work to helping other people? Because I think so few people get a chance to do that. And in particular, when they do it, I would say at scale, and you know, when you're building your own thing and, you know, you can push, like if you work at a nonprofit, you know, that can feel good, but oftentimes it's like, it's a really tough, you know, it's a tough job working in, you know, charities. But when you're building your own business that's having an impact on people, I mean, do you feel fulfilled? I hope you feel fulfilled.
Oh my gosh. It's the best part. It's my favorite part. Like just the individual stories of moms or dads or like girls writing, just to say that they saw something, they identified with it. It made them feel not alone. It made them feel seen. It inspired them to do something in their own lives. Like it's, you know, it's the best thing ever. Somebody just sent me this thing the other day. It's like, I think it's called like a wax museum. They have it at schools where kids, like they pretend they're wax statues. And then they, you pretend to press a button and then they do their spiel. And it's usually like somebody, you know, like Amelia Earhart or something, somebody like from history. And a little girl was me.
Oh my gosh. I love it.
Yeah. And she was like, hi, I'm KT Parker. I'm a photographer. I made this book. And she was holding one of my books. And I was just like, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Like that she loved the book it resonated so much with her that the author was important, you know? And I was like, that's awesome.
You know, what you're doing, it's interesting as I think about it, because, like I would imagine pretty much everybody that you highlight in your books, there's a ripple effect from them and the positivity that they feel and the proudness that they feel of being included and their story being in there and then their family and people around them. But then beyond that, yeah, everybody who reads the book and gets the book. And so, you know, and you know, people who know you personally who are like, oh my gosh, she's this incredible businesswoman and author like that. I just like, that's one of the reasons I asked Ivana, Zoe's mom, if I could get connected to you to see if you wanted to be on the podcast, because I feel like so few people, there's plenty of entrepreneurs out there and there's plenty of people doing great, good work through nonprofits. Mm-hmm. But very few, I think, get a chance to make a real impact through what seems to be their life calling.
I would say so.
It seems like it is, right? So yeah. I guess as you think about like, how did it happen? Not necessarily the story of, which I've heard your story. So like, you know, the, having an art exhibit or, you know, showcasing your photography and that not going as well as you hoped, but then using that as a launching pad, but like within you, mm-hmm. you know, have you always been sort of a champion for the underdog or, you know, seeing that women, you know, could use a, you know, an inspirational moment or just having empathy? Like, did you grow up with this? How did you get to this point?
I mean, I think that it's funny. That's always been sort of like a through line and a thread in my life. I'm the youngest of four kids. I have two older brothers and older sister. I always wanted to be like my brothers. They both played soccer at college as well. And I was always just trying to keep up with them. And so like when I wanted to play soccer, when I was like 5 years old, there was no team for girls. Mm. And I don't even think at the time that I recognized that that's like BS, but then I played with boys. I remember I played with boys. I played on the boys team. And my mom said they were so mean to me that I quit. Mm. And then I think I was seven. I joined my first girls soccer team and it was like I loved it. I was like, this is the best thing ever. I loved playing, sports. And I think growing up in like the '80s and the '90s and seeing through college as well, seeing like in that world, just like the huge disparity of what the girls were given and what the boys were given, like, you know, in where I went to college, like, you know, we were friends with the guys' soccer team and we got all guys' soccer gear. It was enormous. There was nothing made for women that fit us, that, you know, was appropriate to our size. We would sleep. But this is insane. I remember one soccer tournament, we would sleep four to a hotel room. So two to a bed.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
The boys did not do this. And one away, we were playing like a spring tournament. I broke my arm and I had to share a bed with a girl, which if your arm is broken, you don't want to have to like share a bed. And it just, you know, the way that we flew, like if we fly, we would be like, have like seven different layovers. It was just always, you're just an afterthought. And also the kind of kid that I was just like, I was kind of loud. I was like, you know, I was like a kid that it was like too much. You're a lot. Yeah. And I just got frustrated with hearing that. Cause it was like, you're always trying to like, sort of dull your shine. And I didn't want girls to think that they had to do that or that they didn't deserve as much as the boys. And I'm not a confrontational person and I'm not like going to get in anybody's face about anything, but like, this is the one thing that I'm like, no, I'm like, I'm done. And I get super frustrated with it. And I'm like, this is not fair. We got to change this. And, you know, combining the thing that I really loved with photography with this passion was like, I can't believe that I get to do this for my job. That's crazy.
Yeah. Well, I have a secret hope, which is that you partner with Caitlin Clark and do a book. Can this happen?
For me, it's a hard yes.
Yeah. Okay. We just got to get her team, but you'd be and now's the time because yes, there will be people who write biographies and autobiography, you know, on her career, but she has done something over this last year and inspired so many people, especially a lot of young women that, what you've built so far. So talk to your publishing group or whatever it is. Like, you got to make that happen. I'm sure she'd be into something like that.
That'd be so cool to like document her first season.
Oh my gosh. Right. And again, I mean, honestly, who better, Yeah. So, I do bring her up because like, you know, is that, like, I'm sure you were pumped watching her do what she did.
Oh yeah. 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 It was awesome. It was so, but like, it's so amazing to see how much that she's, you know, she's just a singular talent, and she's so compelling and talented. And, but then like, you know, she's drafted and like, look at her salary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Crazy.
You know, you're just like, and everybody's like, well, she's going to make so much in endorsements, but you're just like, come on. Like we, you know, I would say the women's tournament was so much more popular than the men's tournament because of her and Angel Reese and all these other players, and just like the quality of the game. And I don't know, just, it chokes me up to see like how far we've come, even with women's basketball, even in the last few years. It's just amazing to see little boys asking for girl basketball player autographs. I love it.
The best. Do you like, that is a question I wanted to ask. Like, you know, you've sort of started this journey, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, but surely this has been something on your mind for a long time. Are we getting better as a society? Are we sort of the same as we always have been? Like, are things getting better?
So, I mean, I think like, I'm super hopeful. I think like, the generations that are coming up behind us are just like less mired in the stereotypes that even our generation has. And they're, you know, they're more open. They're more, there's just less, I guess, like baggage that we have carried. And so I feel like as things are changing, and as the younger generations, you know, kind of come in, and I think also there's just more of a questioning the status quo, and just be like, you know, like things that we've lived with that are, you're like, that's wrong. But we just don't, you know, sometimes you just don't recognize it because you've grown up with it. Having like people like kick down the doors and just question old tropes and things that are just, they're no longer working. I am hopeful.
What, are there any other phrases like throws like a girl that come to mind that people still use, or you still hear, that we can hopefully have people, including me, maybe stop using?
I mean, I think that's one of them. It's funny. People say tomboy is not a great one either, but I don't know. I just fully identified as a tomboy, and maybe I need to research it a little bit more. Cause I'm like, no, I would say that that's a great descriptor for, you know, I don't know what the alternative is to call a girl, you know, like, you know, like a little badass is, you know.
Yeah. I like the, I think I've seen like, I run like a girl, try to keep up, you know, I kind of like flipping it and saying, you know, this is actually my power.
My soccer, the book I have about soccer is called Play Like a Girl.
Oh, nice. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
Another question I was just curious about is, you've written these books, and there's, you know, I don't know what percentage is sort of the story. Obviously, most of it's the stories, but there's, you know, there's interludes as you set up each section. Like this book in particular has four, I think. Let's see. Yeah. Four main sections: find your voice, use your voice, amplify your voice, and sustain your voice. As you wrote those opening sections, which I thought were really insightful, are you like, is this just all coming naturally and out of you, or are you like researching and studying inequities? And, you know, I just curious if this is like, are you a student of this stuff now, or is it just naturally something you've been able to bring up?
I would say, I think it's like one of those things that says like, it's just such, so ingrained in my daily life. To be totally honest, writing those intros and writing my intro to the book is my least favorite part of the project.
Yeah, I'm right? Like, oh, they're so good.
I hate it so much because it's like, it's not a muscle that I use often. So I have to like shut it down, turn the internet off on my computer, get my phone out of the way, like have headphones on and be like, you're writing these things. And then I definitely get some help from my editor. And, but it's hard for me because I want to make sure that it's funny, because you're like tying in all of these disparate stories, and but also wanting to make it I want to make the books interesting and not feel like medicine, if you know what I mean. Like, you want it to be like the message is there, but I don't want to make it so like, oh my gosh, like she's, you know, like, well, so, you know.
And there's books, I mean, there's full books about each of those four sections, a whole book of words. Yeah. So I think you're right. I think you're bringing it to life in a unique and different way.
Yeah. I think it's lived experience. And then also, like, I would say, you know, they say like the things that are, that you see every day and the things you read are yeah. just become who you are. And like everything I follow on social media is all like women's sports, this. And, right. You know, I think it's, which I love that. So I think it helps inform when I'm writing.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. No, I mean, it's really great. I'm curious, is there a book for dads in the future?
You know what? It's the one that I'm working on is for moms.
Okay. I think that would be great. Yeah. I could use it. So, well, that leads me to, what advice do you have for dads? Like, what's a couple pieces of advice that us girl dads can keep in mind or think about?
I feel like you just from talking to you, I feel like you're doing an awesome job. I think it's just to treat them the same way, like that also just taking an interest in their sports, in their activities as much as you would your boys, and trusting their opinions and giving them weight and you know, valuing who they are. And I think it's the same. It's like treating your kids equally, regardless of their gender. You know, like, I think trying to like foster their passions, whatever they may be, you know, if it's a traditionally like feminine one, like for dance or cheerleading or things like that, just being like giving that the weight that you would a boy playing football.
Yeah.
You know, like being there at their meets, asking them about it, showing up, cheering. I think that's it. It's like, I think you just got to show up for your kids, regardless of what it is, whether you're interested or not, or you can relate to it or not. Like, you learn about it, you study it, you know, cause it's so funny. Like, recently, I went to Wake Forest for college. My daughter is in Alabama, and all my Wake Forest friends are all like, you're such a Alabama fan now. And I'm like, cause I'm like watching the football games. I'm so into, I go, well, my daughter's name is Ella. I go, well, I'm an Ella fan. So now I'm an Alabama fan.
Yeah.
I'm just like, I want to be like as understanding of like, she's at these games. Like, I love the, you know, so it's like, you just get in, you're just like an enthusiastic participant in their lives.
That's great advice. I don't have that problem because I played college tennis. So I'm 48. So it sounds like we're about the same age. I played college tennis at UNC Charlotte, and we played Wake every year.
Oh, yeah. We played it at UNCC all the time. Yeah. Right down the road.
That's right. Yeah. But so my two kids that play tennis are my two girls. So I'm always there, but I can see, you know, potentially a dad who, like, maybe their daughter's into gymnastics or cheerleading, and they're like, oh, mom will take you to that. But I think that's a great piece of advice. Yeah. I am curious. It seems to me, I've always thought that sports were great in instilling so many lessons, but certainly confidence. Would you say that sports, obviously not required, but is it in particularly helpful for young girls?
I think sports is great. But I think that's also like a narrow interest view. I think finding and facilitating and like helping any child like develop a passion is what I would recommend, whatever that is, acting, singing, finding the things they're interested in and like sort of like laying down a pathway so that they can pursue that, be interested in that, be good at that. And then derive their confidence from this thing that is separate of friends and boys or girls and what people think of you or school. Like, some kids are just not good at school, but they can be good at other things. And then they don't feel badly about themselves. So whatever that is, kids, you know, kids, everyone has something that they love. So just helping develop that in our kids, I think is huge.
Love it. Is there anything that you wished I had asked that I didn't?
No, I feel like this was great. I feel like it's kind of a therapy session for me. I love it.
I love it. I'm super inspired by you. I want to just say, if you ever do the Caitlin Clark book, I want to at least have you two on the podcast. So that would be my ask.
We'll
put it out into the universe. Caitlin, if you're listening, we've got your book partner. Yeah. Okay. So other than telling people to go check out your books, is there anywhere else you'd like me to point them?
Instagram. I post a lot on Instagram. I'm Kate T. Parker on Instagram. So, you know.
All right. Kate, I just can't thank you enough for the work that you do. I know how important it is. I know how important it was for Zoe and Ivana. They were so thrilled. I mean, I found it because they posted it everywhere and were so excited and honored. Awesome. So like, I know you're doing great work. I can't wait to see what you do next. And if I can ever be helpful, let me know. But thanks for joining me today.
Oh, thank you so much. I just have to say one little thing about Zoe. I spoke on a panel with her maybe 2 weeks ago, and she's the only kid on the panel. It was all entrepreneurs and authors, and the woman that started Refuge Coffee, like amazing. And the other lady was high up at the Hawks. And she's on there like contributing more than like just so well spoken. And my husband was in the audience, and my husband comes up to me after the event, and he goes, "Do you think Zoe might want to life coach me?" And I was like, "I don't think so. I think your people are far gone."
She's so incredible. Yeah. Oh, speaking of that, I should know this. Have you done a TED talk?
I did. I did a TEDx talk at Emory.
Okay. I'm going to watch it. Yeah. You should. She's, I think, maybe the youngest, maybe black female. She's the youngest something to ever do one. That's what made me think of it. I'm like, gosh, I got to watch yours. Okay, good. So we can go. I'll try to put the link to that as well.
Oh, good. Yeah. Now I'm like retroactively cringing, but yeah, try to enjoy it.
Kate, it was so great. Thank you so much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is great.
Wow, you made it to the end of the podcast. I didn't think people did that anymore. Well, since I still have you, I'd love for you to do two things. First, subscribe to this podcast on whatever platform you're listening on. That way you'll be alerted as soon as I post my next one. And second, I'd love for you to subscribe to my email newsletter. I send out an email every week or two, and it's really where I share my more personal thoughts and ideas. Plus, I give stuff away sometimes. You can find the sign up at my blog, jeffhillemeyer.com. And I really do appreciate you listening.